You're listening to the CryptoCast podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Welcome to Crypto and Blockchain Talk and our latest edition of ICO Insight, where we get all of the inside information about the hottest ICOs today.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this week's edition of ICO Insight. And for this week, we would like to introduce BitLearn. And here with us today is Fred Jin, who is the CEO of BitLearn. Fred, I'd like to welcome you to this week's podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, we're really excited. So where are you sitting at the moment?
I'm actually in Belarus, where part of our dev team is. I'm in the lovely city of Minsk.
Oh, lovely. I've been there before. There's great shopping there.
Oh, really? I haven't done any shopping here myself, but it's very nice here in the summer.
Oh, very good. So you have your development team there. That's really great because they have excellent developers in Belarus. Before I ask you how many members are in your team, can you wrap that into what BitLearn actually does?
Yeah, so BitLearn is a gamified learning platform on the blockchain. With my background in gaming, this is something that I've always had a vision for. And we have 7 developers here, you know, in addition to other team members. We're kind of a distributed organization ourselves.
Wonderful. So you're an international team, no doubt, because it sounds like you have a very international accent. It sounds like you do come from across the pond, like I do. And so it sounds like you must have a pretty good team behind you.
Yes. So I was born in Beijing, but I grew up in the Bay Area, and I started working in Silicon Valley since 97 and through, you know, series of startups. So that's where our headquarters is. And also that's where I developed the passion for both technology and media, social media, and then later on into gaming. I can expand a little bit more into my background.
Please do. We'd love to hear about your background because we know that people who invest in ICOs these days are really looking for legitimacy. And that legitimacy comes from people who actually have legitimate backgrounds and have actually solid experience and knowledge behind them. So please let us know about your background.
Sure. So for my very first job was a company called NetObjects, and it was a collaborative authoring tool that makes HTML websites. And this is in 97. I was mostly just doing MFC, like C++ programming. And I just stumbled into sort of the Bay Area startup scene without knowing exactly just, you know, how exciting that was. And then I think in 2007, that's when I was in charge of the media platform, a social network, early social network called Bebo, which was acquired by AOL for close to $1 billion.
Yeah, I know that very well. I know Bebo very well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I was in charge of their open media platform where, you know, music and video, and we're really focused on user-generated content. And that's when I, you know, saw just how powerful it was. So right after that exit in 2009, I started a social gaming project, you know, leveraging much of what we learned just from, you know, user-generated content and the virality that's built into the apps platform at the time, which was unprecedented. So that company, we ended up building up to about 100 people in San Francisco. We were backed by Tencent. They did our Series A and B. You know, we had millions of users who came to our platform to play our games every day. One of our top games was called Mall World. We were doing mostly female genre games because at the time Zynga didn't really do pink games.
Right.
You know, that's when I became very fascinated about the user engagement and how gamification can prolong user engagement to a point where we had sort of a very, very core group of users who came back to play our games every day. And that's when I noticed how, you know, my nieces were always struggling to do anything except wanting to be on the devices. So I figured, okay, this is a big opportunity. It may take a long time to get there, but it's a big opportunity to engage potentially billions of kids who are spending hours on their devices, yet not really engaged with good learning content, nor challenge and reward learning for themselves.
Well, you do realize that you will be hitting upon the billion-dollar idea if you can actually turn the addiction of gaming and education at the same time, because you're right. As seen by many, almost every world-renowned video game, it's very addictive and people do spend hours. So by intertwining the whole educational concept and a video game, any kind of online gaming, that's excellent. So your background, you are a programmer then.
So I started as a programmer, but as the gaming company started taking off, I transitioned more from the CTO into just running all facets of the company, which, you know, has to do with a lot of it. It's really product and game design, as well as hiring and, you know, work with partnerships and work with distribution. We're running ads that we couldn't fill. We're building in-game advertising platform. So there is a lot of things that we did. At this point, I would just call myself like a very startup person with heavy focus in gaming.
Excellent. So if you could compare yourself to something that's out there, but obviously you're better, why would customers select you over your competitors with this platform that you're building?
Of course, there have been other gamified learning experiences out there, like Duolingo for one, which is more or less geared towards, you know, adults who already understand the joy of learning. You know, their gamification is fairly good, and also it's one of the first like massively adopted apps that proves that bite-sized learning is the key. You know, there's a lot of study that shows that small bite-sized learning over a longer period of time really helps commit knowledge to long-term memory. So that's one really good example, and it's kind of a bit of inspiration for what we've done, but it's only part of our platform, which is the gamified learning interface. So the other part of what we have is a publishing platform that actually allows any educators or experts to publish their material into our game-based learning format. That's the piece that's very innovative. And thirdly, with our soon-to-be-launched token, which we've already been testing on the Ethereum's mainnet, it's kind of the missing piece that we see in this space. Without this, it's really hard for us to, you know, activate users and challenge and reward them to start learning and to take ownership for their own learning progress, which we see is really needed in the future as the gap between the educational outcome and private sector skill needs grows bigger and bigger. So I think that's really what we see as big part of the future landscape. And secondarily, you have this problem for parents, right? One, they're not really invited to come in as partners to set up goals and rewards for the kids. They don't have a structure to do that. And also they have this problem with what we call the black box of learning. Like, you don't really understand like where your kids struggle. You don't really know how to help them. In the Bay Area, a lot of, you know, my friends, well-to-do friends, what they tend to do is just spend money and hire tutors to help their kids do homework. But that's, you know, not really addressing the problem. So that's also another key area that we're addressing. So we actually, with our soon-to-launch token, the BLB token, we have finally this, you know, incentive that can activate and empower all three actors in this economic model, where we can, one, incentivize the best content that's proven to be effective from the top educators.
Right.
And two, activate and engage kids and reward them. And three, invite the parents to come in and set up the goals and rewards and also help them get the insights that they need.
Okay, so let me just ask a question here. So, you know, you were saying that you reward the students who are actually the target market for, obviously the parents, maybe in most instances, but the students. Are they being rewarded with the BLB token? Are you creating... Are you creating mini college funds for people, basically?
Well, that's the long-term vision. We have written a white paper, but that has not, you know, we have not published it, just because of all the regulatory stuff that we're going through with our lawyers. But I think at some point we will be able to publish that make that available to potential investors. The key part of what we're doing in terms of activating users is the message is simple, right? Because, a study shows that any kids who have a college savings account, they end up, their graduation rate from college is 4 times higher than the ones who don't. But the key is we need to get started early. And with our app, you can actually get them activated just by saying, hey, here's the app. You can start learning and unlocking rewards. all on your own, where get your kids to start doing that for themselves, right? So how we are launching our initial campaign is that, you know, we challenge kids to go through their first learning quest, right? So something magical happens when you tell kids, hey, this is learning quest versus this is homework. We've been testing our learning product in local schools for the last couple of years, which we know that it's very engaging, and that's only part of the equation.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Fred, I'll give you the key to making your $1 billion. Basically, all you have to do is say, this is not homework, you're not allowed to play this, and then just leave it on there. And then you'll see adaptation on a nuclear scale. So,
right.
So what blockchain? Are you guys building out a blockchain? Or are you building on top of someone's blockchain? How is the blockchain being implemented in BitLearn?
Oh, that's a great question. So initially, the first phase of our product has the token embedded inside of it. So you don't. So most, as you know, most consumers don't have any cryptocurrency, right? So what we want to do is that we want to activate a lot of users and get them start learning for themselves, and then have the parents come in to claim the reward, and also at the same time set up like regular savings plan.
Wonderful. How are you going to spread your model so it fits in on a universal landscape in terms of the educational systems?
So right now we're launching in the US first. So we want to act specifically to where we understand the culture. Mm-hmm. And also luckily for us, you know, 45 states adopt a Common Core standard. So we can say, hey, like, you know, challenge your kid to master all the key standards in third grade or fourth grade, depending on which, you know, grade they're in. And that's very compelling to the parents. But like the key is once we go higher into higher education and private sector needs, like into subjects such as, you know, say AI or, you know, natural language processing or things that have very, very large international appeal, that's when we can go, you know, international, right? So into large markets such as China and Korea, where the after-school learning market is, you know, 10 times bigger than the U.S.
Absolutely. And I can see that, obviously, China as a market, well, you know, that alone is going to be a pretty huge break for you guys. So When is the ICO for BitLearn?
Well, we're actually launching our app with tokens, you know, available to be purchased inside of it, you know, specific, you know, parent packages and plans. We're not calling an ICO. We're actually making that available so that people can use it first. We are actually looking into different jurisdictions in terms of doing private sales. So we will have more information with that. The coolest thing with what we're doing is that we can actually reward early users for downloading our app and using it and testing it. We can potentially have, you know, bounties. I mean, pending approval from our legal team and the updated terms and services, we could give people, you know, like additional token rewards or bonus tokens for using our app and help give us, you know, constructive feedback.
Well, you know, actually, that's really interesting. And I'll tell you why. Because doesn't that mean it's not an ICO? It's not an ICO, I would think, if you're actually rewarding early adapters and allowing them to purchase in whatever currency. It doesn't matter if it's in Chuck E. Cheese tokens or if it's in yen. It doesn't matter what it is.
So it's a simple reward token. Then that's, you know, I mean, what our belief is that, you know, we want to be one of the first that shows that we can actually leverage blockchain cryptocurrency to do good and, you know, build a viable product that can solve like real social need. And by doing so, and we can sort of remove a lot of the negative connotation that's associated with the ICO. So right now, we're not talking about ICOs. Our lawyers saying like, you know, we're not going to be talking about ICOs. We're just simply launching a product. And then, but potentially we could, you know, raise additional funds via private sales with strategic institutional investors. So that's something that that's definitely on the table. We don't not follow the typical ICO path where you do private sale, then you do some kind of, you know, public sale, and with the token distribution events, you know, somewhere between the two.
Well, I think that's the right way to approach it for many reasons. And it is very true that in this very recent time, ICOs are actually being broad brushed with, or they're being painted over with, a pretty bad, in some instances, reputation. So I think staying away from the word ICO could possibly play into a better light anyway for the way that you're launching your product. I'm not saying, of course, that all ICOs are bad, because we know that's totally not the case. But it does take a couple of bad eggs to spoil the bunch, as we all know the saying.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just a very innovative way in funding projects and raising money.
And so is yours. And that's actually a much better approach, I should think, because, again, it doesn't follow the typical ICO model. And because also you're changing the framework in a way around it, where you're basically saying, this is something for sale, come and buy it. I should imagine you have an affiliate program.
We will be developing that, but currently we have so many things that we need to do. Everything with launching up the product, testing, and also, you know, aligning content, and also very soon doing outreach with educators and community building. All of these take so much time.
So what is the revenue model then for BitLearn? Is the revenue model based on just advertising, or is it also on the tokenomics surrounding it? How was that revenue model created?
Well, I think it's fairly straightforward. So basically, there's a small percentage of premium fees that we charge from parents, right? That's for, say, either cognitive insights or additional parental control features that we're building. So if you really think about it, like, what's really lacking is sort of set of features that give not only just insights to how the kids are learning, but also potential device control features, you know, seeing what content that they're consuming, and also potentially control, you know, game time, right? And with our parental control features. So these are the areas where we'll be charging some additional fees, because our background is in social mobile gaming. We know, like, microtransactions and, you know, in-app purchases, that's sort of our goal too.
Yes, of course.
So that's a part that we'll be focusing first. But of course, there will be a lot of other revenues, I think, in the future, especially once we develop our knowledge, you know, sidechain that can expose that data to a number of partners and you know, make that information available to truly empower personalized learning.
Absolutely. So you have a public beta, which is coming out in the next couple of weeks. It says on your Telegram channel. And the Telegram channel, for everyone who's listening, is BitLearn Network. Again, BitLearn Network. So where are you right now in terms of development?
So we've been testing vigorously, and we've just been testing with mock tokens on both the testnet and mainnet of the Ethereum, as well as just, you know, all of the your typical, you know, user experiences and first-time user experiences, and looking over the analytics, looking over the user's data. So that's where we are. We're very, very close to launching, but we want to make sure that we can launch with a reasonable first-time user experience.
Yes.
Because, you know, as you know, like, most of folks don't have any cryptocurrency, right? We want to make it as close to like a typical game app as possible. In terms of, here's $5 worth of allowance, right? This equates to, you know, like 80 tokens that can be earned by a child, right? If they clean their room and do their two lessons a day, and then they will get that. So instead of, you know, just giving your kids money, now you have a structure through which you can reward your kids through good activities, and so that they're earning and taking ownership, not just over learning for themselves, but also with good financial literacy features built in.
Of course, many, many people are going to want to see this. And you will, obviously, besides what you have on YouTube, which is a little bit of an insight, you have like a special preview. People, of course, will want to see a little bit more. So are you going to be attending any kind of gaming conventions or events where you're going to be doing a bigger expose on your products?
Well, I think just in my experience, like, all of the, you know, massively successful gaming titles, they all just kind of like came out of nowhere. I remember when, like, Clash of Clans came out.
Yeah.
They were, like, so hugely popular, or just took everything by storm, right? Nobody really knew what it was about. I was a small team in Finland that just came out of nowhere and built this amazing experience. So we're pretty much in that same mode, where we're mostly just developers and tech folks that heads down. We're if anything, that we're lacking, we really lack in terms of people can help us to get the message out and build hype around this. You know, that's kind of like not our forte.
So in other words, marketing.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing that you're then doing a podcast. So, so, and of course, it does sound really good. Your product looks good and it feels good. And I got to tell you, it sounds very exciting. And as I have a kid myself, I of course want to test this. In conclusion, give me your elevator pitch. Why would I, as a person out there looking for an educational experience for my child, why do I want to download BitLearn?
Well, I think one of the biggest movement in education right now is student agency, which means instead of telling each child you have to do this, you have to do that, it's much better to show them, okay, this is how you're doing, and challenge them to take ownership over their own learning progress, right? So our key is to sort of spread the joy of learning. We're going to take a lot of top educational content and break that into small bite-sized learning format and present it in a way that feels, you know, in a 2 to 5 minute typical game sessions, you can go through and learn something, but it's, you know, very incremental. It's all mastery-based that you have to, you know, perform like one step at a time to accumulate and ultimately get to the treasure chest or get to the reward that's at the end of the learning path, right? So that's one of the key things that we're doing that's really different from everyone else. So most people, when they say gamification, they think like badges or simple leaderboards. But what we're really doing is, you know, baking that into the core of our platform.
Excellent. So if I want to right now download or buy or be in the beta group, what do I need to do?
Right. Just go to our bitlearn.network website. It's, again, at the address is https://bitlearn.network. And there is a sign up list there. And as soon as you sign up, we will let you know as soon as the product is ready. It should be ready within the next week or two.
Excellent. So I'm just going to repeat that the URL is bitlearn.network. And I would like to now thank you very, very much for joining us, Fred. And I have to tell you, we are very excited about your product and your platform, and we know it's going to reach the greatest heights of success. Thank you so much for joining us on our Insights.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and look forward to having your, test our product.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With your daughter.
Absolutely. I'm going to go on today and actually log in as a person who wants to test your platform. I'm actually doing it as we are speaking. So again, I invite everyone to join the Telegram channel for BitLearn, which is BitLearn Network. And if you have any comments or suggestions, please email us at education@savvydigital.com. And in closing, I would like to thank everyone for listening to this week's podcast, and we look forward to having you as our listener next week. Again, thank you, and bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the CryptoCast podcast. Stay tuned in for more episodes.